Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to ask you a question. Do you have an unhealthy cycle in your life that you continue to see? And are you ready to break out of that barrier so that you can become all God has created you to be? Well, that is what we're going to be talking about today on our podcast. And to do that, I'm going to take you into one of our Treasured Tribe Talks. Now, the Treasured Tribe Talk is given every Thursday inside of our private Facebook group called the Treasured Tribe. And if you're interested in joining us, we'd love to have you. To find out more information, go to www.treasuretribe.com. And now, on with today's message. Today I want to talk about breaking cycles. How many of you know that our God is such a good and powerful God that there may be a prayer request that you've put before Him for some time now, and you've been asking and wanting, and it hasn't come through? And I want to encourage you today, as God encouraged me inside of my quiet time, that there is a greater miracle that is on the way. That thing that you've been asking for, that relief from a certain situation, is just merely the iceberg, merely just the surface of what God wants to do inside of your life. So today we're talking about breaking the cycles. And I started out by saying that if you have a prayer request or a need that you've put before God over and over and over again, and maybe it is that you see that other people have, but that you've been asking God for, and it's frustrating you, I'm here to encourage and tell you today that our God is such a great God, that there's a greater miracle on the way, that there's a greater healing that He wants to bring in your life, that He wants to solve the root issue, which will empower you to not only get the thing that you've been asking for, but to do it so in a way that brings abundant blessing inside of your life and inside of other people's lives. But let's get right into the message today. And I want to ask you a question. What is the crippling in your life? What is the injury that happened to you that you literally had no control over that has causing an unhealthy cycle inside of your life? Because all of us walk through something, and it could be a physical hurting. It could be a hurting of the soul. And it's no mistake that we made. It's something that happened to us, and it had no control over us, but it's causing an unhealthy cycle in your life. What can you see in your past that happens over and over and over again? And that's what brings me to my passage today. And here's what I want to say, that thing that you've been seeking that you think will solve the crippling in your life, and that you've been asking God for, and you haven't seen it come to pass, and you've even seen it come to pass in other people's lives, and it's causing frustration, there's a greater miracle that God wants to do inside of your life. My passage today comes from Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. See, back then, Jewish people would pray 3 times a day. And so there was a prayer service at 3, so they were headed to the temple. And as they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When Peter and John saw him about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazareth, get up and walk. Somebody listening today is getting ready to walk. You've been seeking money and God says, I don't just want to give you money. I want you to walk. Now, this man inside of this story, he had a crippling and he was lame. And this crippling created a cycle inside of his life because he had to survive. And so the crippling caused him to position himself just outside of the temple to beg for money. Now, I want to point out this need, that money was a legitimate need for his survival. But the way that he was going about getting the need, it created a cycle inside of his life. The Bible tells us that every day that people would carry him to the temple, and he became much like a fixture at the gate of the temple. And here's what I want you to see, that the crippling caused an unending cycle of looking to people to provide money for survival. And see, the problem inside of this scenario was not just the source that he sought. In other words, how many of you know, and how many have you understand from godly girl power, that people have limited power, but our God has godly girl power. He's got all surpassing power. So the problem was not just the source that he sought, but the solution to his cycle. He was asking for the wrong thing, but there's no shame in that, right? Because the money was a legitimate need for survival. And so I want to ask you a question. What is the crippling in your life that has caused your heart to break in such a way that it's put you in this perpetual cycle of maybe begging from people? And maybe the begging wasn't for money, but maybe it was for acceptance, and you've traded your soul, and it's caused you to look to people to meet your needs. And people have that limited supply, but because you've been living this way for so long and people come and get you every day and they carry you to this grave, it's just created this cycle inside of your life. And see, here's what I want you to see, that this positioned him, because he was seeking people, he was positioned outside of the temple. And see, our Bible tells us to go boldly before the throne and to ask God for what we need. But sometimes our crippling can cause us to feel less than, like we can't just boldly go before the throne and we don't directly ask God for what we need, because we spent our life indirectly asking people for things and skirting around the issue. And God says, if you need provision, you come boldly before my throne. If you need acceptance and validation, you come boldly before my throne. If you're looking for me to promote your purpose, you come boldly before my throne. And so it positioned him outside of the temple, and this became customary inside of his life. And then the Bible says that he was asking people for money, that he was asking people for money. And see, God says, you need to come to me and ask me in prayer, and that will take the pressure off of you having to ask people. And then it says that Peter and John looked at him intently. And then it says the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. And see, sometimes our expectations, even what we're expecting other people to do, see, God wants to give a greater miracle. And we have these expectations on people, and sometimes they're answered and sometimes they're not. But see, here's the thing. Obviously, he always got money because every day he would go back and he would beg. And see, it's God's will. It's God's will for us to take care of the poor. And so he received that money, right? And so he received this reward, but that reward recreated the cycle, and it developed this habit that kept him outside of the temple. It kept him crippled, and it kept him in this customary life that lived just outside of the blessings of God. And I want to ask you a question. What promise is it inside of the Bible that you read every week and you're saying, I want to break into that? What is it that you've studied from the book of Ephesians and you say, I'm tired of just reading about that. I don't want to just explore it anymore. I don't want to stay on the outside. I want to break through and get into that. And it could it perhaps be that there's a crippling in your life and it's caused you to have this unending, unhealthy cycle. And it's like an itch that you have every day, maybe to gain that love and acceptance, or an itch that you have every day to just soothe that shame within you. And God wants to do a greater miracle. And so a crippling that we had no control over inside of our life often causes those unhealthy cycles in our life. And see, here's the thing. People's responses to our needs can often help us, but sometimes that help hinders us because it reinstates our cycles. Now, okay, so that's one kind of help, but then there's another kind of help that provides a bridge to give us freedom in Jesus. Can I give a shout of hallelujah and amen for our Lord Jesus Christ and the way he doesn't answer the prayers that we've prayed for this relationship to be fixed that was so unhealthy, and for the way that he provides for us in a way that says, I know you were asking for this, but I'm getting ready to do a deeper and bigger miracle inside of your life. And so we see that the people carried him in daily to the temple. And can you see this? That they carried him to the gate of the temple, but they didn't bring him in. You see, sometimes people in our life will enable the cycle to continue by meeting that temporary need. And sometimes people helping us will hinder us by perpetuating the cycle inside of our life. And see, here's the thing. I don't know about the people. I don't know about their mindset. And I think sometimes people legitimately want to help us. And sometimes they're just scratching that immediate need in our life. But other times, guys, there's some people that take advantage of your vulnerability. See, they took them to the gate, but not to Almighty God. And see, when the need is so great in our life, when we think I've got to have this person to love me or else I won't survive, or I need this comfort in my life, I need that validation. When the need is so great in our life, sometimes the need can cloud the discernment of truth from the Holy Spirit, and the vulnerability makes us, the value that we place on that need in our life makes us vulnerable to discern the truth. And I wonder, perhaps, I heard one sermon about this where the pastor said this, and I thought, gosh, I've never thought about it this way. But he said that it is very possible that the beggar had to give part of his alms to the people that carried him. And I want to ask you a question. Who is benefiting off of your vulnerability? And it's time for you to break the cycle, because you need to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you with perfect love, who provides you with every need, who accepts you every day, whether or not you make a mistake or not, who loves you and picks you up and says, I've called you to walk higher. I believe in you and I'm ready to go. And see, sometimes people in their love for us will hinder us and not help us because they only bring us to the gate and not to our God. And sometimes we can, and the reward from this, see how it keeps us in this cycle of people dependency. But then Peter came, and the Bible says this. The Bible says this. It says that he looked at him intently. He looked at him intently. And see, Peter wasn't looking to gain off of his vulnerability. Peter was so empowered by God, and he was so walking with the Lord. He didn't need people to do. He wanted other people to be empowered by the Lord. And that's exactly, Peter looked intently at him. And I believe that inside that intently looking, that he knew that there was a deeper need, that there was a greater need, that yes, Yes, Peter, you know, and it says money I do not have, but how many of you know that God provided for the disciples? And I believe Peter could have gotten some money, but he said, money I do not have, but what I have is this. In that I will give you what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Get up and walk. And see, so Peter admitted that he did not have what the man requested. And he did not just automatically say, love means I satisfy what you're asking me for. See, because sometimes we have to tell people no. Sometimes we can't give in when people are abusive to us, because that rewards a bad cycle in their life. Sometimes we have to stand in the place where people might be disappointed with our no and our answer, because it is the very loving thing that we want to do for them. And see, inside of this moment, he was looking intently. And I believe that Peter was so in tune with the Holy Spirit that Jesus was saying to him, come on, let's be a part of a greater miracle. And here's what a good friend will always do. A good friend will not get you to depend on you. They will lead you to Jesus. And there is a place for a bridge. There is a place for a bridge. Peter came to him and he spoke truth to him. And he said, I'm not going to give you that money. I'm going to give you something greater. I'm going to say, get up and walk. And then it says, verse 7, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And see, there is a time for a bridge, and I can offer you my hand, but then there's a time where you must get up and walk. And so Peter's response didn't satisfy the man's request, but it created a bridge to bring him to a savior. And see, that's important, because Jesus wants to get to the root issue instead of gratifying every single prayer request we have to give us something great. To give us something greater. I spoke very candidly that inside of this study in Ephesians, God has identified the root of rejection, and that I will, in my life, the way that I've wanted to soothe that root of rejection is through achievement and success. Now, there's nothing wrong with achievement and success. There's nothing wrong with money. But see, sometimes God has to pause what we're looking for in our life to create a greater miracle. And God was saying to me, Eileen, I want you to know who you are in Christ, and who you are beyond any achievement that you ever create. I want you to know that for you, because see, Jesus wanted to give the man something greater, and he wants to give you something greater. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. Jesus wanted him to be free. See, if Jesus would have given him that money, and Jesus owns every, he could have given him that money. But if Jesus gave him that money, it would only provide a temporary band-aid, and it would recreate the cycle. See, Jesus got to the root and he healed the man's legs. And not only did this heal the man's leg, it would empower him to make his own money, so that he could in turn be a giver of what he sought other people to give to him. See, God wants to heal you so that you can receive his love and his validation from him, so you can walk out and be a blessing to everybody that you see. Jesus wanted to heal him. He wanted to take him out of his Egypt, his place of bondage and slavery that he couldn't even see, right? When Moses came to Pharaoh to free the Israelites, what did he say that God told him to say to him? Let my people go so that they may worship me. Jesus wants to give you freedom, because he knows if you worship man's opinion over him, it's going to be a place of bondage. And I'm telling you, he doesn't want you to just soothe it for a moment. He wants you to break free from that. He wants you to break free from that. What is your money? What is it that you've been asking for and you don't see it yet? You see it answering in other people's life and it's frustrating you. I'm telling you right now, Jesus wants to heal something deeper. And see, when you know, When you know that Jesus is your source of blessing, when you know that he is the place of healing, when you know that he's the source of your worth and value and validation, that is a place of empowerment when you put your faith in him. You won't be dependent on a person. You're going to be the giver, right? While I cannot control what crippled my heart in the past, I can control my response to relocate my faith to the name of Jesus. On down, after the man is healed, Peter is preaching and he's talking about this healing. And in Acts 3:16, it says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Now, Peter could have said it was because I healed him. It was because I offered him ham. No, but Peter said it's Jesus that heals. And that's a good friend right there that will tell you that it's Jesus that heals. It's Jesus that provides for your every need. It's Jesus that gives you your worth and value. It's Jesus. Do you have those people in your life that will look at you intently and value you, not from what they can get out of you, but for what they can give to you to empower you, right? To bring them to bring you to Jesus. And so this man had faith in the name of Jesus. And I've talked about this before, but if you research what it means when Jesus said to pray in my name, and before he went to the cross, when he was talking to his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, and all those three chapters, he says, you pray in my name. And he said it three times. And when God speaks in an echo, we need to listen. And see, to pray in Jesus' names means that I come before him based not what on I think I can deserve, what I think I deserve, but based off of who he is. I can't believe it. But when I go boldly before the throne, God isn't looking at my past. He's not looking at what I've done right or wrong. He is looking at Jesus Christ. And so we go boldly before the throne and we pray in his name. To pray in the name of Jesus means that I pray based off of God's ability, not what I can do. To pray in Jesus' name means I go boldly before the throne. And here's the thing about the other response, because faith and action go hand in hand. While Jesus healed the man, he had to choose to walk. He had to choose to walk. And somebody else besides me needs to hear this week. That you, as a child of God, he has already said you are loved and valuable and special. And it's time for you to believe that and hold your head up high and choose to walk in that one day at a time, one step at a time. He's already given you your vision and for your purpose, and it's time for you to stop seeking validation from others on that, and it's time for you to start walking one day at a time, one step at a time. Jesus healed the man. Peter held out his hand, but then the man had to choose to walk. And then it says this. The man's feet and ankles were healed instantly and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went right into that temple. No longer at the gate, he walked right into that temple. And I'm telling you, he left the people that had carried him every day and created that nasty habit in his life. And he walked right into the temple, praising who? Not Peter, but praising God. If there's an Egypt in your life and you've left your Egypt, but you're in your wilderness and there's something that causes you to look back and think, maybe I should go back to the way it was. It's time to break free from that cycle and go boldly before the throne and begin to praise God for what he has done in your life and praise him in advance of what he will do. What a courageous act of faith. And notice how it was a process that first he had to stand and then he had to walk. And then it said he was walking and then it said he was leaping. And then it said he pressed through to get inside of the temple. And the result of that is that the people were amazed. And it drew a crowd that began to listen to Peter preach the gospel. See, your courageous act of faith will create a ripple effect to glorify God. And after the crowd came around to see this man that had been healed, it says this, verse 12, Peter saw the opportunity that was created because of this man's courageous faith, and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we made this man walk by our own power and our godliness?" Ooh. See, Peter knew it was godly girl power, right? "For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors." Let me tell you something. That is your God too. When you are in Christ, all of the promises to Abraham are yours in Christ. "For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this." Amen. And amen. And amen. And that is your Treasure Tribe talk today. Whatever cycle you continue to see in your life, and you know what? It's okay that you have that cycle. There's no condemnation for that. Jesus doesn't condemn you. But the Lord said this to me today, and I believe he would say this to you. It's time to get up and walk. It's time for us to believe every single promise that we read in the book of Ephesians is true and get up and walk, because there's a greater miracle that God wants to do deep down inside of you. And when that miracle manifests in your life, you won't need to beg people anymore for one single thing. You will be a giver. You will be a giver. And also, you won't be vulnerable anymore to those people that take advantage of your vulnerability. You will value yourself enough to take yourself into the temple. And see, here's the thing. I don't care if you have to crawl into the temple or you know, you need to get a good girlfriend to bring you in the temple to start off with. But you get inside of that temple, you take yourself away from people, and you go to God first to get that need met. And then you watch. Bring your needs to him. Don't worry about, am I praying for the right thing? Throw all that religious malarkey out. You just go to him. You bring him your broken heart. You tell him what you need. And then you trust God to bring about the answer in a way that will bring not just healing to the surface, but divine healing that will connect you with the source so that you will no longer be caught in unhealthy cycles. And you will break free. I hope that you enjoyed today's message. You know, one of the most powerful ways that you can connect with Jesus is through the study of God's Word, by approaching your Bible in such a way that it allows the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And my own personal story is that for years, my shelves were crammed with one self-help Christian book after another. And it wasn't until the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "You need to connect with the healer." And that's how healing happens. And so this is why I'm passionate about our resources at Treasured Ministries.
And one of those resources is our Nourish Bible Study Method. If you want to find out more about Nourish and download a free resource called Nourishing Your Heart, which will set you on your journey, I want to invite you to visit www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com. Also, another way that you can help out our ministry that is of no cost to you is sharing our podcast with others. The best way that we grow is by word of mouth. So, who do you know today that could benefit from hearing this message? I would greatly appreciate it if you would help us by sharing this podcast with others. Thanks so much again, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.